This is a big deal, actually, Patrick, and good morning to you both.
Good morning. Morning.
Yeah, it's been coming for a long time, and you just quoted a figure from 2013. This has been happening since the 80s, really. Jack Nicklaus, in about the mid-90s, said that the ball should go shorter. And then the Pro V1 came out, which spun less, and then the drivers expanded. And for the last 25 years, distance has been completely out of control. So the RNA and the USGA have finally admitted that actually there is a problem. They can't keep on like this. And it's actually a problem that affects the pro game far more than the amateur game, because the equipment, and this is not widely known, the equipment performs much better at swing speeds of over 115 miles an hour, which is out of range for most people. I mean, to give an example, my swing speed is these days, as I'm into my 50s, is about 100 miles an hour. So you'd expect if somebody swung it at 115 miles an hour that they would go 15% or so, slightly more maybe, further than me. But they don't. They go 30% further.
Right.
Because once you get past that threshold, there's a jump off the club face. These club faces are now made from titanium. The wall is thin. The ball, it's called the trampoline effect. The ball effectively gets sucked into the driver and spewed out again. And that effect is greater at higher swing speed. So that means that there's a huge disconnect. Effectively, you've got one piece of kit, but it performs completely differently in the hands of a highly trained tour professional. And they get more advantage. So it's a case of those that have should be given more. And that's changed the emphasis of the game completely from a game of skill, where a guy like Luke Donald, who had a great short game and a short hitter, could become number one in the world and did for a short time, admittedly, but he did it.
Yeah.
And now that's almost impossible. We've got Koepka, Johnson, Rory. These are the best players, and
yeah,
they bomb the ball miles,
but,
and the courses have become obsolete. So that's the problem.
What I will say, though, isn't it? I just wonder, you obviously can shed some light on this, is I think actually, increasingly anyway, from the layman's perspective like myself, I'm seeing golfers be in better physical shape. And so if you look at the likes of a Koepka, for example, I mean, is it not something to do with as well as the kit? Yep, I get all that, of course. But also, these guys are now more finely tuned athletes than perhaps they used to be in the past. No disrespect to golfers in the past, of course, but you know, it follows, doesn't it?
Craig Stadler.
That they get bigger and stronger and they're going to hit the ball further.
Well, to counter that, yeah, you're right. They are generally. But I posted on Instagram a picture of Arnold Palmer in his prime in the 60s. And, I mean, he was bigger. His arms are bigger than Brooks Koepka.
Right.
So you can't tell me that it's just the guys are better athletes.
Yeah.
They might be generally, they're more in the gym because of the incentives. I mean, this swing speed thing, they've all got to go into the gym. And again, it raises also the question of, you know, would they be tempted? There's no evidence for it, but the testing isn't that complete. Is the incentive actually to take performance enhancing drugs to get more swing speed?
Mm-hmm.
And that the temptation is certainly there. So the trend is really bad, I think, in this. And the thing about, I would counter, is that there are senior tour players. I mean, you mentioned Craig Stadler. There are senior tour players that hit the ball further than when they did when they're in the prime, and they haven't been in the gym.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough.
You know, the equipment is off the scale, and finally, the RNA have seen and in USGA have seen fit to admit that there's a problem, and that's as far as this actually goes.
There'll
be in 45 days there will be an announcement on what topics they're going to cover, and then there's a 9 to 12 month review.
Well, why don't they just make the courses longer? Is that a really stupid thing to say?
Well, it makes for too much walking and not enough golf, as the great Alistair McKenzie, who designed Augusta National, wrote in his famous book, The Spirit of St. Andrews, which flagged up all these issues, actually. And it's written in the 1930s, a collection of writings that was published after his death. And you know, you could read it today and it would make perfect sense in today's context. And no, I don't think that's a good idea, because it costs more to buy all this land. And it gives the impression that, you know, you can only have a decent golf course if your course is 7,500 yards long. And for most people, that's totally unplayable. Some of the best courses in the country are 6,000 yards. And they're then feeling that they can't host even county championships.
Wow.
And it's it all leads to what we want is interesting golf, not long golf. I mean, the reaction to the equipment is to make fairways long, fairways narrower, courses longer, and then a beginner golfer stands on a first tee and the hole's 440 yards long and the fairway's 25 yards wide with cabbage either side, and goes, well, I can't play this game. This is too difficult for me. And it turns most people off, I think.
I was just going to suggest,
not a game of power.
I was going to suggest there, couldn't the fairways be tighter and the rough be made longer? Could perhaps be a...
Is that what you want to play, though?
I'm just trying to think of different ways.
I mean,
if you can't make the course longer.
I'd go the opposite way, actually. And I think, what's easier, to change the clubs or to change the courses? Of course, it's much better to change the clubs and provide interesting golf. I mean, the best golf that we've seen on the major championships, and this is where it matters, where we get excited by the major championships. And what we don't want to see is Beth Pays Black from PGA Championship last year, which was played on a course which is brutally long, brutally narrow. And guess what? The most powerful players, Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, came to the top of the leaderboard because everybody else missed the fairway and had a rescue in, and they missed the fairway, maybe had an ace iron in, and they had the power to get it out of the rough, up high and onto the green, which again was surrounded by rough, and it's extremely dull golf compared to major championships played on courses like Carnoustie, Augusta National, and Shinnecock Hills, which had more width.
Okay.
And they provide much more interesting golf, especially if they're firm, because then you have to get to one side of the fairway or the other to access a pin, because you can't just fly it in and stop it dead. So, no, I'd go the opposite way from thick rough. It's joyless to watch. Equally joyless to play, and certainly not the solution, I don't think.
We can actually just hear now from Martin Slumbers, the chief executive of the RNA, and he explains why the Distance Insights report has been issued to tackle the growing hitting distance in golf. Let's just hear from him now.
So if hitting distance continues, so will golf courses grow. And that is inevitable. And in the modern society that we live in, we have a responsibility and concerns around water usage, around fertilizers, around pesticides, and generally the relationship of golf, footprint of golf courses and the environment. What I'm proposing here is that the cycle of increases in hitting distance needs to come to an end. We think it's detrimental to the future of the game and to the traditions and balance in the game of golf. We fundamentally believe golf is a game of skill, and that as hitting distance has grown, the variety of skills needed has changed.
Well, there you go, Jeremy. I mean, he is backing up essentially what you say there. Are we expecting opposition from this from some of the golf stars?
No, they're all sponsored by the club manufacturers, and I expect the biggest whines to be from them.
Yeah.
But to be honest, this is for the greater good of the game. The game doesn't exist so that, you know, club manufacturers can shift clubs and balls. And actually, you know, let's say the driver has to become smaller, or the wall of the club face has to become thinner to stop the trampoline effect, then everybody's going to need new drivers anyway. So I wouldn't worry about the club manufacturers. The players, they're all paid by the club manufacturers, so whatever the manufacturers say, the players will pretty well toe the line, I think. But actually, guys like Rory should come out in favour of all of this, because they should want the game to be a proper test of skill. I'll give you a couple of examples. And we will watch the Masters, and I'll refer to this because everybody kind of knows the holes. On the 15th of hole in 1986, Jack Nicklaus hit a one iron to over the water to a par 5 of maybe 535 yards. And you need, I mean, the 80s had amazing drama on that hole. Curtis Strange hit it in the water with a 4-iron. Seve did the same. Faldo in 96 hit a 5-wood or a 3-iron to a different par 5, the 13th. And he had a decision to make about which one he did. Now they're all bombing 8-irons onto those greens. And Sergio Garcia made an eagle. Nicklaus made an eagle. But Garcia made it with an 8-iron. And Nicklaus made it with a 1-iron. The question is, what would you rather watch? And no doubt you want to see these players tested, because they are fantastic. The players are amazing. So let's give them a test of skill to differentiate them that actually will do the job. So we don't want to see huge drives and wedges in all the time. We want to see them hit long irons to these holes like the great golfers of the past did. And you can't say that necessarily that things are better now if the test is easier. So let's see them play these shots. And it should be in the players' interest, and they should actually be all for this and get behind it. And that's my hope.